The Israeli-Palestinian conflict is long and can seem intractable at times. However, there are individuals living in the region who've had profound changes of heart. So Emily Harris, NPR's Middle East correspondent in Jerusalem, wondered what caused those people to transform their once deeply held convictions. She's been sharing what she discovered with NPR all this week, and Emily Harris joins us now from Jerusalem. Welcome.
Thank you.
So first of all, Emily, okay, here I am in the United States. You're in Jerusalem. And I have to say, from the outside, the region that you're in seems to be frequently presented as a place that's stuck in a virtually permanent conflict. So I'm wondering if that's one of the reasons why you were just interested in investigating how individuals there go through the process of changing their minds.
That's exactly right. I mean, the broad parameters of this conflict, there has been little change in the last 50 years. And when you're here talking to people, you hear this in interviews, you hear the same language repeated on both sides. And people use the words entrenched and intractable, and they repeat phrases over and over. And you get a sense of a real sweeping narrative that is what they're sticking to. It's obviously extreme to say that people don't change their minds. There have been big policy shifts, for example, like the Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon pulled Israeli troops and settlers out of Gaza, and that was controversial, and there were unexpected results. But I was really interested in ordinary people who didn't just change their minds about something important related to the conflict, but also their behavior to match, which social scientists told me is a much higher test of a commitment to a new belief.
Indeed, and sometimes the behavior change is quite dramatic. So tell us a little bit more about these people.
Well, I talked to a lot of people and in the end profiled two Israelis and two Palestinians, two men and two women. So one Israeli I profiled changed from seeing himself as a victim of the Holocaust, a really important piece of his family's history, to seeing himself as a victimizer when he was a soldier serving in the West Bank, a victimizer of Palestinians. That was a long, slow process for him. Another Israeli I profiled used to believe the best way to protect her country, Israel, that she loves very much, was to give up the West Bank for peace. And she saw settlers, Israelis who live in the West Bank, as the main obstacle. But then she spent time with people who felt differently, and she eventually adopted their perspective, and she, in fact, moved into a settlement. Her name is Tamar Asraf, and she told me about this one moment after she had moved. She was driving home.
I think the first time I was driving here after moving to live here, and I've heard in the radio that settlers did so-and-so. My first reactions were, oh, these settlers, such bad people. And then I said, oops, I live here. What does it mean? You know, here, ooh, I'm a settler.
That's what really interested me, this moment of changing your mind, realizing you've changed, and then thinking, what does that mean?
And so those were the two Israelis that you spoke with. What about the Palestinians?
One Palestinian I profiled is a man who was arrested as a teenager for being part of a group that attacked Israeli soldiers with a grenade and a rifle. He flipped from wanting to fight to believing Israelis and Palestinians can live together, but only if they quit fighting, quit violence. The other is a woman named Abla Masruja. She went from having high hopes for peace and working with Israelis to believing that peace will now never happen. One thing that I found particularly revealing about her was that she blamed Israelis for her change of mind because she expected Israeli peace groups to have clout.
When the Israeli groups used to say, we are very weak in the Israeli community and we cannot do any change. So I was thinking, if all these years working and it did not change anything, so I said to myself, nothing will be changed.
Except, of course, her mind. This was the point she decided it wasn't worthwhile to invest in joint peace efforts. I should say, too, a lot of Israelis went through the same kind of disappointment, a feeling of being let down by Palestinians that they view as not taking the steps that are necessary for peace.
Now, Emily, what you just said, of course, it makes me feel like it's emblematic of why people think this is one of the most entrenched conflicts in the world right now. Collectively, that's what it feels like. But again, we're talking about individuals that you spoke with. So how hard is it really for individuals to change their minds on these deeply held beliefs?
Well, social scientists I spoke to said, actually, it is really, really difficult to get people to change their minds, especially about important things that define them. I mean, here, that could be your views on the conflict in the U.S. It could be abortion. It could be gun rights. It could be vegetarianism. Brendan Nyhan is a political science professor at Dartmouth, and he told me that it's difficult to get people to change their minds because people can lose a lot when they do that.
Imagine the dissonance people must feel if they'd been on one side of the conflict and now feel that the side that they were previously on was wrong. That's deeply disconcerting psychologically, and so you can imagine why people would do everything they could to avoid having those sorts of changes of mind. And you know, it's completely understandable people would have a hard time changing their minds, and it's not necessarily also even clear if or when they should in general.
So wait, Emily, is he saying that there are times where we shouldn't be changing our minds?
Yeah, he's talking about this tension between being flexible and being open, you know, like you hear about all the time, you're supposed to do that, but also holding on to values that will guide your behavior. And here's actually a very interesting point that he and other people I spoke to said, that presenting facts, provable facts, is rarely the best way to change people's minds, because it's easier to dismiss facts than face up to being wrong.
Well, NPR's Middle East correspondent Emily Harris joining us from Jerusalem. Great to talk with you, Emily. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Meghna.
Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
I'm Robin Young. This is Here and Now.